It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Everybody wants some.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Glad you can join me as Marketplace covers the fallout of the financial crisis. This morning's hot topic, the car industry. Based on several reports, it looks like the government is talking with GM and Chrysler about giving them some help. But not a bailout, a la Chrysler back in 1980. Our correspondent in Washington, Nancy Marshall Genzer, joins us. Nancy, okay then, what kind of help?
At this point, Scott, it looks like it would be a loan, a $5 billion loan, and that would come from the $25 billion in low-interest loans Congress approved for the auto industry already. The loan would be administered by the Energy Department. Now, there are a couple of other possibilities. The Treasury Department could use its authority under the $700 billion bailout package to help, although it's not clear what form that would take.
Okay, so what would GM and Chrysler plan to do with this loan?
They want to merge GM and Cerberus Capital Management, of course, which owns Chrysler. And one analyst from Citigroup says that a merger would cost $10 to $12 billion. Because if you think about it, there are almost 100,000 factory workers working for both automakers. They have 11 different brands, 10,000 different dealers. There would definitely be some consolidation there, and initially that would cost money.
And why would the government want to do this?
Well, the automakers are in big trouble, and they are a major industry in the U.S. Moody's just cut its rating on GM bonds to junk status. Ford is also in junk status. So they're in real trouble. And they say if they went under, a lot of people and industries would be affected. So they say the government really needs to help them, or they could drag other businesses down with them.
Nancy Marshall Genzer in Washington. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, the American carmakers were bad off, but even in Japan, the industry is fretting a bit. Today, Honda lowered its profit forecast and said it may take 2 years before things start turning around. The stock markets in Asia did bounce back today after yesterday's big losses. 6% gain for the Nikkei. Hong Kong shot up 14%. European shares are mostly higher so far. The Dow is at 81.75, where it was in April of 2003. 200-point drop yesterday. The S&P 500 is on track for its worst month since World War II. It lost another 27 yesterday, about 3%. States and cities are selling off $6 billion worth of debt this week. $423 million in Houston, $400 million in New York. A long list. What's surprising is it appears there will actually be buyers. Lots of them. Here's Jeremy Hobson.
A month ago, no one wanted to lend money, least of all to cities and states. Hedge funds and money market funds fled the municipal bond market. That sent yields up and prices down. Bad news for those who were already holding bonds, but, says Tom Doe, CEO of Municipal Market Advisors, good news for those trying to get into the market. From October 15th until the end of last week,
we saw the strongest rally in the municipal bond market, I believe, in history.
This week, the rally continues. Doe says the buyers appear to be individual investors drawn to the high-yield and mostly tax-free bonds.
Once they understood that the falling price was a liquidity issue, not a credit issue, they felt very comfortable owning the bonds.
The return of investors to the bond market is particularly good news for municipalities, which rely on selling their debt to finance things as basic as roads and schools. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org. And by Gather.com, where friends keep up with the people, conversations, and moments that matter most. People are talking about the economy at Gather.com.
We all know bears are roaming Wall Street and eating a lot of things, but the rest of New York City has a problem too. It's really quiet. Sally Herships has this report.
New York City streets usually throb with a certain unmistakable sound. But recently, the jackhammers have fallen silent. Mark Engel works with American Development. He says Wall Street's collapse has brought construction in the city to a standstill.
Developer can't do anything right now. That's the bottom line. He can't get financing.
Engel says it's difficult to get a loan these days because many banks have pulled out of the development business. Brian Lochner is head of investments for American. He says all this means American has to put more of its own cash on the line.
Those same projects may end up being as profitable on a dollar-for-dollar basis, but because we have significantly more exposure in the project, more skin in the game, our returns on every dollar that we invest are going to be smaller.
One big reason banks don't like developers right now, building owners are finding it increasingly difficult to fill all that new space. Real estate firm Cushman & Wakefield says commercial vacancy rates in Manhattan rose 25% between the end of last year and the summer.
Few tenants, a lot of spaces, so it's a very anxious market for these owners.
Rick Dana is a VP at Prudential. He says some tenants are taking advantage of the weak rental market.
They will stall. They will probably try to see which deals is being presented to them and then wait a few months and see which one they like better. And should the economy perk up or their specific industry look like it has an upturn, then they'll be in a better position to move.
All over Manhattan, colorful signs offering space for rent and for lease spell out the message that New York's commercial property market is on sale. Jay Neveloff is a real estate lawyer at Kramer Levin. He says this decline is unprecedented, but...
That's the good part about New York real estate. It really does come back, and it is a money center, and it's not as volatile in the long run as a lot of other markets.
Neveloff says New York's real estate market may be slow for a while, but he says the city's unique position in the global economy means you can bet on a recovery. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.